Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever you get your podcast from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and it is game day, New Orleans, though this game is going to be taking place in Oklahoma City as your New Orleans Pelicans are on the road to take on the Thunder in the second preseason game of this year. So today, in this edition of Locked On Pelicans, we're going to be talking about this game. Basically, what to watch for. There was a lot of good in the loss, to the Chicago Bulls, but there was also some bad. Are we going to see certain things start to become trends? Or are the Pelicans going to try and fix a few of the things that plagued them in that first game while improving on the areas where they look good? So I'm going to break it all down for you, tell you what I'm watching for, what I hope to see out of this game, and get you all set for this Friday night game. Then the Pelicans do play on, I have it here, I want to say it's Sunday, against the Chicago Bulls. That's going to be, yep, on Sunday. Against the Chicago Bulls. That's also going to be on the road. I'm not going to prep you for that one because we kind of just saw it. You know what they need to work on against this team, and it's really going to largely carry over from the OKC game. And then we'll, of course, recap everything on Monday for you all. So let's just kind of dive right into everything here. And I got some stats I want to talk about a little bit, particularly the assist numbers. So in the first half against the Chicago Bulls, we saw the Pelicans have great ball movement, and you saw a lot of Drew's points came on cuts. And then he received a pass from Rajon Rondo. And you can see the ball movement was there. The off-ball movement was there. And this is evidenced by they made 21 makes in the first half of the game. And they 13 of those were assisted on. So 62% of made baskets were assisted on. And if I'm sounding distracted, it's because I'm looking at the Tropical Storm numbers that's headed right towards us here in New Orleans. So that's always fun. anyway, so 62% was the assist percentage in the first half for the Pels. That's pretty good. You can get higher than 62%. I think their goal would be to be higher than 62%. Though sometimes when you're just taking open threes that aren't a catch and shoot type situation or pull up, something like that, it's going to drop those numbers down. The second half, the Pelicans had 17 makes on 10 assists. So that number drops to 59%. So you can see it even shows up in the stats other than just the eye test as well from it that the ball was moving less. There were fewer extra passes made, different things. We got to see the reserves doing this as well. That started though, you know, though the Pelicans didn't play Davis and those guys in the fourth quarter, and that's where you saw this offense really stagnant at times. It started in the third quarter when those guys were still playing and you saw a little bit more isolation focus from some of them. You got to cut that out. This team isn't really beat to built anyone on isolations unless it's Boogie or Davis putting the ball on the wood here and driving to the rim. Those are really the only guys that should be kind of trying to take their man one-on-one in an isolation situation. The rest of everyone shouldn't. The backups and reserves need to be on board with that too. And again, you saw a lot of that stagnant with them when they were out there. That's a concern. As long as the Pels keep that ball movement going throughout the whole game, all four quarters, I think that's going to be a really big thing in maybe getting a victory here in OKC against a team that's pretty good and filled with talent. Though, when I start talking about them a little bit, I'm going to talk about who may or may not be playing. That's still kind of up in the air for some of these guys. So, you know, with this game coming up, again, just ball movement, working off ball, different things like that, don't let it get stale. Another thing to keep an eye on is going to be three-point defense for the Pelicans. They didn't do too well against the Chicago Bulls, a team that's kind of going through a transition into shooting more threes. But for the most part, it was those second rotations, the second help guy. It's not the initial rotation to take away something, but then the guy after who's then open from the guy helping and rotating over led to a lot of open three-point attempts from the Chicago Bulls. The Thunder didn't rip a ton of threes, at least when you compare them to the Rockets who they played in their first game. They took 26 threes, hit 10 of them. So not amazing numbers, but not very poor numbers either. But the Pelicans need to do a good job of not letting those be of the wide open variety. Carmelo Anthony can hit them. Paul George can hit them. Isaiah Kanaan, another one of their guys who can hit threes. They're still dealing with some injuries and different things, but don't give these guys the opportunity to shoot wide open threes. The goal here on this defense is defend the perimeter and try and funnel these guys into the two bigs in Davis and Cousins down low. You saw what they did the other night against the Chicago Bulls defending the rim. The perimeter three-point shooting defense didn't look good. Guys were wide open, but the rim protection and everything looked absolutely outstanding. Davis and Cousins rotating over. They were blocking a number of shots, and things looked really good. Contest them on the three-point line, force them to put the ball on the ground and drive, and funnel them right into Davis and Cousins, these two bigs who play very good defense overall. They need to be doing that this game. They can't allow the opponent to shoot 44% or something like that against them. That's what the Bulls shot. You got to get that number lower than that 38% if they can, which the Thunder shot the other night. Don't let them take open three-pointers. Force them to do a little bit more work. Melo, when he starts driving, though, he's efficient in isolation, as efficient as you can be in isolation. Again, he turns the ball over a lot, and that's something that Oklahoma City struggled with in their game against the Houston Rockets the other night. They had 18 turnovers. You got to turn them over. You're not going to turn them over if they're ripping wide open threes from the perimeter. Speaking of the perimeter and shooting, in the game against the Rockets that the Thunder played, they were just raining threes down upon them. The Rockets were, at least, shot 55 three-point attempts. They made 24 of them, 43.6%. Really good number. In a game against the Chicago Bulls with, these more three-point shooters that they have now, the Pels only took 32 three-pointers, hit 10 of them, 31.4%. Of those 10 they made, 4 came from Etuan Moore. So you need to see them taking more threes. And also, some of these stats might be off as I'm going through the NBA.com/stat stuff. These don't add up quite a lot, so when you hear people talking about the box score, including myself, there it's preseason. There might be a little bit of error here in it. But basically, this team shot enough threes. 32 is a good number, though they were outshot by the Bulls from deep by 4, 36 attempts for the Bulls. They need to take more threes to try and space this court. The spacing did look very good at times, but when they kind of went away from shooting threes in the second half of the game, again, it all started to kind of dry up and not look as good. Can't let that happen. This is a team you can beat. It's preseason. You want to get the win. But more importantly, you're going to need to take a lot of these three-point attempts during the regular season. Get in the groove now. Start doing that. And let's see if it starts to work, because frankly, they shot well in the first half. Pels shot 46.7% from deep in the first half, and then it kind of tanked in the second half, pulling that number significantly down. They're trying to shoot, but you still got to make them. And this is a team against the Oklahoma City Thunder where, okay, they give up a lot of three-pointers. You can definitely score that way against them. So go out and do it. Pels, by the way, second half, made 3 three-pointers total on 17 attempts, 17.6%. Not going to get it done. You're going to get better looks against this team. You've got to make them. So I know I plugged it the other day. I'm going to plug it again. Make sure you're listening to the Locked On NBA podcast hosted by David Locke, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. We've got the season previews for the Locked On Podcast Network up there right now. It's about 5 to 7 minutes for each and every team in the NBA. Give it a listen. Catch up around the league. Know a little bit about every team. Make yourself a smarter basketball fan. Know what's going on when those teams come to New Orleans to play the Pelicans in the Smoothie King Center. You'll be caught up in no time and be like an expert. So make sure you tune in to the Locked On NBA podcast.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
So going into this game, another thing that we're looking for trends-wise when it comes to the Pelicans is shot selection. I noted on the Wednesday podcast how good the shot selection was. I saw Mason Ginsburg tweeted out some pictures of the shot chart, but it was five mid-range attempts. One of those is from Cliff Alexander, so probably really just counts as four mid-range attempts for the Pels. That's excellent. That's a big Chris Finch influence. Does that keep up? One game is probably not enough to really base this off of and say everything's fixed and they're going with this kind of style of ball. Is it going to be, you know, like this going forward? These next two games, we're really going to get an idea of what this team's trying to look like now that we'll have a bit of a larger sample size. We'll have multiple things to gauge against. Do they keep abandoning that mid-range shot in favor of more threes and going at the rim? If you're going at the rim and it's scoring, you don't need to take threes if you can keep doing that. It's working. But at the same point, you need to make sure you don't kind of fall in love with that mid-range shot again. Dante Cunningham likes it. We know this, even though he's stretched his range out to three. Davis is the biggest surprise in that he normally has that jumper, you know, off a pick and pop in the middle there or just pulls up and shoots it. That's nearly undefendable. And he didn't really go for it much. That's phenomenal and outstanding and exactly what you want to see. So hopefully this keeps up again. If it does, that's a very good thing that will be seen from this Pelicans team if they're avoiding these mid-range shots and playing a more kind of modern, efficient offense that's taking easy, good, high-percentage shots at the rim or three-pointers, which being worth the extra point is certainly a very good thing as well. So that's one thing I want to keep an eye on, is the shot selection remaining consistently strong and avoiding those dumb zone shots. And even those mid-range ones the Pels did attempt in that game, none of them were of the long two variety. They were like just outside of the paint. That can be okay at times. It's not like you have to get rid of that entirely. You don't need to go full on rockets where it's either in the paint or behind the three-point line. And more importantly, like the restricted area. It's not even in the paint shots. They're down low in the restricted area. So we'll see if that keeps up. I'm hopeful it is. This Chris Finch influence, like I said, isn't going to be this brand new offense, but more conceptual based about what they want to do. We saw it against the Chicago Bulls. Let's see if it keeps up against the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Another area to see if a trend develops is transition defense. Alvin Gentry singled this out after the game the other day, specifically as an area of concern, partially because guys just weren't getting back. That often goes hand in hand with going after offensive boards. You don't get guys back. And I think, again, you'll see a lack of offensive rebounding in this game coming up, even though the team says all the right things that, yeah, we want to go after offensive boards. We want to get more. We're going to see if they actually do it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to actually go out and do it. They did only get 6 offensive rebounds in the first game against the Chicago Bulls, meaning they probably weren't hitting that glass as hard as they would have liked. But at the same point, if you're really concerned about your transition defense, you're likely not going to send guys to try and grab those offensive boards. It was 6 offensive boards on 42 misses. So you can see they're not doing a great job there either. You don't want to be bad in both of these categories. Bad offensive rebounding, bad in transition defense. The transition defense was kind of people just standing around after makes at times too, when usually you can get back a lot quicker because the opponent has to inbound the ball. That's a lot of laziness and maybe not mentally being prepared to play the game, just not in the right headspace kind of, and also potentially some conditioning too. These guys aren't necessarily in game shape leading up to the first game. You still got to kind of get out there and run and play in the flow of a game on the court, which they haven't really done a ton of. So we've got to see, does that fix itself? Because if it doesn't, that's a bit of concern. Then you might need to really kind of look at this defensive scheme a little bit and say, okay, what do we need to do to try and take away these easy points? They gave up too many to the Chicago Bulls. They didn't like that. Definitely not what they wanted to do at all. So it's going to be curious to see, do they fix this? Do they not? and what kind of what happens from there. This is a concern. Teams will try and run against these two bigs and try and just blow past them if they're not back on defense. They're going to try and get easy buckets when your two best defenders, basically, or two biggest defenders aren't back there. That's an easy way to score some points. So, you know, the Pelicans need to try and figure that out. You're going up against Paul George and Carmelo, who after a board can easily take the ball down the court and run and try and score. That's a concern. Can't let them do that. And potentially, if Russell Westbrook's in there as well, and I may as well talk about the injury stuff right now, since that was an easy transition to it. In the past game against the Rockets, Russell Westbrook didn't play, Patrick Patterson didn't play, and Alex Abrines didn't play. I don't know what their status is yet for this game tonight. As I record this, it hasn't been updated, so keep an eye on Twitter for that, because we're not entirely sure what if they're going to be playing or not. That kind of influences this. If it's Russell Westbrook out there as well, you know, dude's a monster in transition. You want to try and avoid a situation like that where he can burn you that way. But the question is, does this become a trend? Are we two games in and we're concerned about the transition defense? And does it have more to do with going after offensive boards, or does it have more to do with laziness and people not just mentally doing the right things that they should be doing to get this all taken care of? Other than that, just as a bit of a preview for the game, this is going to be a tough test for the Pelicans. You have Anthony Davis, who can likely guard Carmelo Anthony or Paul George, one of the two, but then who guards the other one? And that's probably going to fall on Dante Cunningham. We don't have an update yet on his minutes allowance. This game, is it going to be 15? Is it going to be more? Is he just fully ready to go? Expect the Pelicans to play their starters kind of around the same amount that they did in the first game. Again, it's like a truncated preseason for this team, so they want to make the most out of every game. I know people were upset about them playing 30-plus minutes in three quarters. It's okay. They're NBA players. They can handle this type of thing. It's not going to make them like tired for the regular season. But who guards Carmelo Anthony? Who guards Paul George? How does that work? You know, right now you should have Steven Adams playing against DeMarcus Cousins. That should be kind of a fun one as well. But the rest of that, how does it work? This at times could be a really easy challenge for the Pelicans with Raymond Felton on the perimeter, Andre Roberson on the perimeter. Those guys aren't really big scoring threats, at least anymore. So how do they do kind of bottling these guys up? Do they funnel them into the bigs? These are all the things I'm looking for, things we want to see become trends, whether it's good or bad. We finally get a second preseason game to kind of, you know, get some data on after the assumptions we made after the Chicago Bulls loss. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans, last podcast for the week. Enjoy the game tonight. It is streaming on the Pelicans app as long as you're within 75-mile radius of the Smoothie King Center. If you're here in New Orleans, try and stay dry. Be safe. It looks like we have some nasty weather coming our way as I record this Thursday in the early-ish afternoon. So be safe. Watch the game. Watch both games. It should be a lot of fun. You're going to hear from Jim Eichenhofer. You're going to hear from Daniel Salerson, Sean Kelly. Two of those three have been on the podcast. Got to get Jim on at some point as well, hopefully. So this should be a lot of fun. It's always nice to hear just different people talking and things like that. So I'm excited. Nice that we're able to watch the games that aren't going to be televised, and good on the Pelicans for taking those steps to make sure their fans, at least in accordance with league rules, can watch these games. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you all on Monday to break down these weekend games.